Good afternoon and welcome to Results Matter Radio. I am Erin Mazars, Chief Marketing Officer and Director of Client Service for the law firm of Burr & Foreman, and I will be your host for today's segment along with my co-host Lee Cantor, who is the CEO of Atlanta Business Radio X. If you are new to Results Matter Radio, welcome to the show. Our show was developed to bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Before we jump into today's show, let me welcome our guests and my co-host Lee. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how are you doing today, Erin? You look fantastic.
Is that
a new perfume?
Only you, Lee. Well, you know,
I have
a question for you.
Yes, fire
you,
away.
And you have a face for radio. Did you know that? Yes.
I've heard that before.
It's almost Halloween.
Yes, it is.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
I dress up every year as an attorney.
Oh, you do? Yes. Ed, will you have Ed's face
I'm
on?
I'm modeling Ed, yes.
All
exactly.
Right. Well, that's fantastic.
Best of luck with that.
I think Ed has a face for radio, too.
I have the clothes for radio.
Oh, there you go. Well, before we get started here, I just want to give you a little bit of background. This is part three of a three-part series. So this is our finishing touch on the segments we've been doing about Atlanta Technology Angels and that organization. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of what investors are looking for from their entrepreneurs today. As you may recall, if you were listening to segments one and two, we covered the history of the ATA, the tax credit investors can take advantage of, the operations of the ATA, as well as the detailed process you might go through to get a seat at the table with the investors, which I found very interesting. Lee, did you learn a lot in segment two?
Yes, I learned a lot through this whole series.
Yeah, I did too. It's been very interesting. Today we are pleased to have Melanie Leith, who is Vice President of Imlay Investments, and Ed Brown joining us again as corporate partner at the law firm of Burr & Foreman for the final segment of this three-part series. So welcome, lady and gent, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Melanie, I'd like to just dive right in. And in fact, I'd like to start not necessarily with what the entrepreneur's best practices might be, but I'd like a little history on Imlay, if you don't mind giving us a little bit about that and maybe the cycle of the entrepreneur and investing and all that.
Right. Well, Imlay Investments, I think at least here in Atlanta and the Southeast, it's gotten a reputation of almost being considered a venture capital group because they say Imlay Investments, but essentially the history of Imlay Investments is the family office of John Imlay.
So one person.
One person.
Okay.
And when he founded his family office, he decided that he wanted to give back to the Atlanta community that supported him when he was building his business here in Atlanta. And he basically carved out a portion of his portfolio to invest in early stage companies, to basically back people.
Any industry?
Predominantly in technology.
Okay.
And we'll get more to that just in terms of who you should talk to when you're investing. But, you know, certainly we've looked at lots of things, but certainly software, since that's where he made his money, was a sweet spot. And he was a Georgia Tech graduate, so certainly anything related with technology and Georgia Tech, there were lots of ties here that it made sense for him to say, look, I want to help anybody who wants to start a business, you know, back them if they're doing something in the technology area. So that's kind of, he started that 21 years ago.
I was going to say, how long has he been giving back?
21 years, okay. Exactly. And last year we actually announced that we're not doing any new investments, but we're certainly still doing follow-on, and we're certainly still very involved in the early stage investing community because it is an ecosystem. It's about, you know, teaching others, encouraging others to do it, because it's pretty much been his mantra from day one of like, look, I want to help others. I want to be that person that says, okay, I'll take a chance on you. And
well,
you
21
know,
years of investing, you probably still have quite an active portfolio.
We absolutely do. So exactly, that's part of the whole strategy too, since it is one person we hopefully would like to have nice exits out of all the remaining companies. So certainly it's a process. And that's another thing. It's like once you make the decision to invest in a company, you're with that company through the life cycle of that company. So it's very, and since we come in so early,
right,
you're through the whole ride, the ups and the downs. And so, you know, partnering with the right people.
Was Imlay part of, were they a member of ATA at any point?
Yes.
Okay, they were.
And that's the other thing, is just in terms of trying to find folks to co-invest with you. That was something we learned, you know, back before even people really knew what angel investing was. It was one of those things where you were, you know, Sig Mosley, who is actually president of MLA Investments and kind of carved out this niche here in Atlanta and for MLA Investments of, okay, we're going to go in and be a lead investor. We're going to set terms. We needed co-investors because we found when we were the only people sitting at the table, it was not a good position to be in when a company needed to raise more money. So it was the perfect fit when we were introduced to ATA, and we've been long-standing members of ATA and still very involved in ATA, supportive of ATA. And it is our go-to source of other people for expertise, you know, obviously for due diligence, for co-investing, and it's just been a great partnership for the years, and we continue to give back to that group as well.
Now, how long have you been there?
I've been there 20 years, September 1st, exactly.
Wow.
I know. So pretty much through the whole ride. So I have lots of story, you know, when you go through, because I went through the whole .com, the whole, you know, when it was the buzz, you know, everybody was talking about what's the next deal, what's the next IPO, you know, everybody was wanting to be in the next .com. So, you know, certainly the highs and lows, and you learn a lot through doing all of that.
No,
so.
That's fantastic.
Well, it is.
And also, I mean, MLA, y'all have a reputation in Atlanta that's bar none, one of the best. It is. And I think more than just being pretty good investors and pretty good partners, but because of this desire to give back, the desire to keep deals and to keep technology and investing in startup companies in Atlanta alive, it has been tremendous for the city. And I think now ATA is very much that same kind of a model on a little broader scale, but that it's not a fund, not a venture fund. Nobody's going out and raising lots of money and holding it in the bank and looking. It's finding the deals as they come and then matching the investor to the deal.
Oh, and absolutely. And certainly, like I say, in early stage, it's all the more important. And I think that's one thing, especially for entrepreneurs, to realize when you take that first money outside of friends and family, you know, we kind of laugh about it. We're like, it's more than even a marriage because, you know, marriages get, when you're in the deal, you are in the deal.
Right.
And you have to, certainly if everything is going textbook and you're raising money and you're just growing, everything's going brilliantly and all your investors are thrilled, then absolutely. Easy. What happens when things aren't going so well? So that's who you have to be. Who's going to be there? Who are you going to talk to? Are you going to be able to communicate? Are you on the same page? Do you have the same vision for where the company's going? You know, that type of thing. Can you really build a company together? And that's what you need to look for.
Well,
when you're investors.
Yeah, and Mike was talking about even with his adventure in with the Weather Channel taking 4 to 5 years, and so we were talking about what type of support did you have through that, you know, and having to go back and say, no, this is going to make it. So that longevity of knowing that you're in it for the long haul.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times not only investors but entrepreneurs, when they're starting, they're thinking, okay, we're going to get in this and this is just going to roll out. You're going to have your business may be a totally different business
at the end. Yeah.
And that's a lot of times what investors are looking for when they're meeting with these companies is, okay, how well can somebody, you know, evolve, change, you know, make good decisions, know when to ask for help. You know, it's easy to deliver good news. It's can that person deliver the bad news? I mean, it's all about honesty. I mean, these are all things that you're really looking for. You know, when somebody comes in and says, I have the best technology, we're like, well, that's great. We know best doesn't always win.
Right.
We're betting on the people. And it all comes back to just, you know, you're basically betting on a jockey as well to come in and be able to build a team and be able to build a company. And, you know, we like being part of that.
Well, I think the old role in real estate was always – three most important things are location, location, and location. And I think primarily in startup companies, it's management, management, and management. You can have the greatest idea in the world, the best technology that has since sliced bread, but if you don't know how to implement it and how to bring it to market, doesn't do you any good.
Or the opposite. You can have the worst and have great management and make that sucker soar.
Yeah. Oh, well, absolutely. And a lot of times it is.
You can sell it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It worked for Pet Rock.
Well, absolutely. No, without a doubt. You know, the next thing is, you know, I would add the other end would be market, market, market. Because the two things we're looking for, you need a market and you need management. You know, because you could be the brightest folks trying because there are lots of people we've even backed where like we would invest in them again. They're smart people, but the markets weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be that combination of, you know, having the right people and the right markets and a little bit of luck. And then certainly you want to make sure there's technology there and you know, it does what it says, what they say it's going to do. But it's definitely, you know, it's about who can execute. Because a lot of folks, they come up and, you know, they're kind of in a bubble thinking they've got the best thing. And then they realize, you know, they're not the person to really build out the team. And then that's a whole different discussion, you know.
Well, let's go back and talk about, let's give some pointers for these entrepreneurs that may be listening to us today. And let's talk about what's the timing, you know, to ask those friends and family. I mean, I want to start there. You know, when is the best time to ask your friends and family? I'm sure it depends on your friends and family. But, and when do you bring investors in? And when do you get involved with the ATA?
You know, certainly when you're asking friends and families, when you just, obviously, you've tapped out everything you can do, and if you don't have revenue. I mean, the biggest thing we always tell people is they don't realize how long it takes to actually go into, to how long it takes to raise money when they go to make the decision to go into fundraising. It's a huge distraction. It totally takes you away from building your company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's that trade-off. I mean, certainly, you know, probably half the companies that come to us should not be out raising money yet. I mean, you see them and they're like, it's a great idea, but investors do not invest in science projects. They do not invest in...
a thought or theory.
Or exactly, just a good idea.
Right.
Now, there's a qualifier. If you're a been there, done that team who's done it before, okay, you may get lucky and come and say, oh yeah, back to the stories of I had an idea on the back of a napkin, because folks are betting on, okay, they can assemble quickly, they know how to... But for most folks who are just been working out a deal, they have, you know... Revenue is going to be their best friend, because if they are making money and they're selling, or at least have really happy customers who are either beta testing and saying this is the greatest thing and can vouch for it, that's going to excite an investor way more than anything else that they could really put onto the table. Because people say, okay, look, people are buying, people are spending money. And that's a big thing, especially today.
Yeah, and for a lot of these investors, I mean, there is a time when, you know, it's possible that you have a product that you have to get to market quickly. There's a niche that's a time sensitive for some reason, or you think there's somebody coming up behind you that you need to get out there quicker. But a lot of them, in my opinion, sometimes they try to go too fast, that they need to go through the steps of developing their product, making sure they're there. And also from a standpoint of going out and raising money, sounds odd, but money has a price like everything else. And the earlier they go out and in the maturity scale, the lower they are on that, the more that money is going to cost them. So to a certain extent, you want to time that. You want to come out where you need the money, but you're going to get the best value for it. You're going to give up the smallest amount of your company than you would if you went too early. And getting that capital early when you're not really ready to use it, you know, maybe a false cost to you, and you're probably going to waste a lot of time looking for it.
Yeah, right.
I've heard of people talk about cheap money and expensive money. And like for an entrepreneur and they have a startup, they're never going to get a bank loan. That's not ever going to happen. Now, when they work with an investor, that money comes at a price, like you said. And if they come out too soon, they could be giving up a big chunk of their business. And it starts becoming expensive money.
Oh, absolutely. And that also goes back to who you get the money from. I mean, there's also what we call like smart money. It's like folks that understand what you're doing. I mean, that's the other thing. And that's one thing that we try. I'm talking about more about people who understand what you're doing. And you're going to get more than just the check. You're going to get their connections. You're going to get the introductions. You're going to get, you know, somebody you can call and ask for advice, especially, you know, folks that have same domain experience that they can say, look, you know, I've been there before. This is what I did. You know, that's sometimes more than actually the cash, because it's like, you know, if you can translate it into revenue, you're not getting diluted. You're not giving up more of your company, just like you're saying. You're not giving up more for, you know, basically getting less. So we're always about saying, look, make sure you approach, especially when you're thinking about going out to raise money, approach the people who are going to understand what you're doing. That's, you know, certainly a big advice. You know, if somebody comes up to us just like, and they say, oh, well, you know, we have a biotech company. Well, we don't invest in biotech. You know, you can always impress ignorance, but it's going to take me a lot longer to get over the hurdle of the due diligence and understand before I can make this investment. So it's just going to definitely prolong the whole fundraising cycle if you're going to have to educate me. But if you're going to come and, you know, pitch me your company and it's in a space, it's in software, something we understand, we'll say, okay, we get along the curve a lot faster and can get, you know, more excited about putting a deal together. And, you know, the other thing, too, is just to make sure that you know, you do your research. A lot of folks, they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out and raise money. And so folks would just be like, oh, if I can get in front of MLA or if I can get in front of ATA. It's like, don't, you know, like I would say, don't jump that gun. Do your research. Make sure you're ready. If you don't have the revenue to support it, have done the research to have, you know, the right advisors, that you can have an introduction from an advisor saying, you know, I know this space. I've had success in this space, and that they can help, you know, make the introduction to folks, because we're inundated with opportunities, and they're all risky. Every single one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
They're very,
like
very
you
risky.
Said, you can have a terrible idea that if you market it right, you can make money.
Absolutely. So it's all about, you know, the more credibility a deal has when it gets in front of an investor, the better. And, you know, do your research well. I mean, I'll never forget one meeting. We're sitting there, and you know, this guy's going on and on about, you know, yes, I was reading about you on your website. And Sig and I are just looking at each other. It's like, we don't have a website. So here's this guy, you know, sitting here telling us about your way. And you're going, okay. So right there, where the credibility of, like, their research of, you know, if you're going to take my time and it's valuable, you better have done your research. You know, have the right facts. You know your market. Be able to sell us. Because
how many companies do you think you've, over 21 years, you've listened to?
You know, I had a feeling you were asking. I was like,
I'm curious.
It's in the thousands.
All Georgia-based?
Predominantly. I mean, there were certainly some that we looked outside of Atlanta. We've invested somewhat outside of Atlanta, but predominantly here in Atlanta. And it'd be thousands. I mean, even just during the .com, we couldn't keep up just with the number of plans. And that, hence why we didn't have a website. Because it's just Sig Mosley and myself, and we were like, there would be no way we could call through. If you make it that easy for everybody just to dump their business plan, we couldn't get through them fast enough.
Right.
So we definitely did rely on introductions from counsel, people that knew us, people who knew our sweet spot, what we liked. We had success in the security space. So it was like, certainly that was a, you know, anything that had a fit, it was the right thing to be put the deal in front of us. So, you know, that certainly intros go a long way.
So once you have your timing down as to when you should, you know, ask for these investments and you're getting these investments, are there other individuals in the professional services space, you know, the accountants, the lawyers, you know, when do you get those individuals involved? What have you...
Oh, I think they're involved from the beginning.
From
I mean,
the very
certainly,
beginning?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I, you know, certainly if... we're all about, we like our companies to have great representation, because you want to set things up, you want to do them right. Because eventually, if you really are the company you're going to be, it's going to have to be in good order. So, you know, having clean housekeeping, we're all in favor of that, you know. So certainly some of the best deals we've had have been introductions through company counsel, where it's folks that know us and pick up the phone and say, you know, take a look at this. This is, you know, this is a great team. They've got their act together. You need to take a look at it. And
do each of you get, do you get separate counsel? Ed, how does that work?
No,
so the investor has counsel.
Investor has separate counsel.
MLA would have a counsel, and then...
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, both sides would, and both need independent representation. I think early on, as the lawyer in the room, I'll even tell clients on a very regular basis when they come in, sure, you need a lawyer to help you set up, maybe do some basic documents, kind of get organized at the beginning, but again, don't get too carried away.
Right.
You could end up spending a lot of money on something that you don't know that you're ever going to need. So take your time with it. If anything, my advice to most of the early stage companies that I represent is go get yourself a very good accountant early on. Get somebody, if you don't have the internal expertise, get somebody that can help you understand basic financial accounting, understand revenue, understand, you know, their financial position so that they can plan. And it's not that expensive. Accountants tend to be fairly inexpensive to do that. Help you set up a good set of books. Help you to set up that
just
initial infrastructure you
mm-hmm.
have, so that when you go to ATA, or if you'd gone to an MLA or to somebody, you can go in and they can look at the numbers and make sense of them. It's not somebody did it on Quicken themselves. It's you know, a little bit of that money, I think, to be honest with you, for the most part, even more than the attorney, until you start bringing in a lot of investment, is absolutely key.
Now, I have a question about, is the thinking the same when you're working with professional services from the view of from the entrepreneur? Should they be kind of schooled in your industry? Is there value in having them be a referral source for you for possible business? And you know, they may be your accountant, but they're also somebody that can connect you to kind of a larger ecosystem than maybe you are
No, absolutely. I think, you know, certainly a lot of the professional services, they're networking, they're out there, they know the people, and they can be a great resource. No, without a doubt, you definitely want to use those. You want to use, and networking and getting out there, working in stealth mode, you know, for some people that may work, but I was like, for the majority of the people, you need to be connected, you need to be out there, right. and certainly it can help you in terms of finding talent to, you know, to your point, a lot of times it benefits the entrepreneur to outsource a lot of the things for as long as they can because they can't afford to hire, you know.
Right, but is that something that if I'm at some point down the road wanting to get an investor involved, is it a good idea to hire an accounting firm or a law firm that the investors are kind of familiar
I wouldn't
with?
Do it for that
no.
purpose.
No.
They're not for that purpose. If you already are using somebody, mm-hmm. it's obviously a great source to go to and right. to say, you've been around here. Who might I talk to? Who right. do you have some ideas for me? And very often we can help with that or the accountants can help with that. But I certainly wouldn't go hire my lawyer and accountant as my investment manager.
No, well, not as your investment manager, but as somebody
for introductions
is connected into that.
No, I mean, certainly, I think if you have good counsel and they're doing their job too, or they're connected and know what's going on, they're able to do that, and it's not something you would go out to. Because we would never, you know, just like we didn't make habit of taking deals through folks that brokered deals for us. I mean, right. we kind of felt this is a small enough town that, you know, in word of mouth that you could pretty much get in front of people. If you had something, you could, there are ways, there are not that many degrees of separation that you couldn't get in front of mm-hmm. somebody to make an introduction for you to, you know, get in front of a deal.
So what are you back to, let's a few more tips for the entrepreneur. If I am an entrepreneur and I know MLA is not currently investing, but say other companies like you are, or other individuals, what do you want me to bring to the table? Obviously, you've said you want me to think about the market and make sure that I have a full-fledged, I guess, business plan, make sure that I have investing that has happened on the friends and family side that has gotten me to a certain level. Is there anything else that they need to be thinking about?
Well, absolutely. If they've determined that, you know, the market's big enough, that the time is now, I need the money that they, you know, a lot of times is how much money they need. They need to be realistic about how much money they need to raise. I think that's the other issue. Is a lot of times it's hard to get your head around. And back to Ed's point of, like, you know, your accountant, if you have somebody really helping you model what you're doing, you can come up with, this is what we really need to do. And you want to raise, back to Ed's point, it's that, okay, you want to raise the right amount of money, because if you raise too much money, you're giving up, once again, too much of your company, mm-hmm. whereas you want to really show that this money is going to help me to get to the next milestone. And a lot of times that can be done if you find the right investors to invest. They're going to help come up with that number, too, because you may come mm-hmm. at one number and the investors are going to say, you know, after what we've gone through, the numbers, we think you need to raise, you know, a million X. instead right. of 500,000.
Because remember, the investor wants the best return on investment they can get.
Right.
So by putting too much money into the deal, it's going to lower their return right. on investment. The capital can't be used as efficiently. So the investor is not necessarily trying to be cheap, isn't necessarily trying to say that you're not worth the money, but the investor wants their best return as well.
So
they're a good partner
yet.
To talk to. Yeah. I mean,
it is a partnership. This isn't an adversarial relationship.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, and that's why I kind of, you know, you have that Shark Tank, you know, people say, oh, do you watch that? I was like, oh, it's just, you know, I'm like, you have no idea. This is, it truly is. I mean, you're coming in the deal so early.
Do you watch Shark Tank?
I watched it once and I was just kind of, it was, I was like, oh,
I've never seen it.
I was just like, oh, you know, it's so, to me.
It's not the way it happens.
It really isn't. It's like, you know, typically your investors are so excited. It's like this vicarious thing of like, we want to be part of this. We want to help you build this. And it's a very positive thing. And a lot of times, like I said, a lot of times it'll be telling, no, we're not going to invest in your company, but we're going to give you some advice to go out and do these things. And sometimes,
but the companies you do invest, you take a very, it sounds like a very partnership type role, and you may help them with their business plan, and you
absolutely.
May say.
Absolutely. And certainly there are different types of investors. Some will be very passive, and that's great too. Some will be like, look, we're kind of hands off. We don't, but for the most part, when we did investments, it was pretty much getting involved in terms of like a board seat, or at least you know, somehow that we could be involved and help not only, you know,
secure your money,
take care of our money, but also to be that, you know, that help of helping the company get to the next step, making the decisions and bringing in the right people, and you know, just being a support system to them.
So what is a success over that 21 years that you think of? If somebody says, wow, what's the one company that you guys supported, do you have one that you're just like, oh? And it's not because it made you money, I just mean because
well, there's
you're
so many
excited.
You know, and that's so funny, you know, people say, and I could certainly rattle off the ones that gave us, you know, the best returns, and those are special because it was very exciting. I mean, you love to, it's what you're doing it for. It's to have the success and the exit. But they're like children. I mean, I know for lack of a better, you know, some of the best stories were, like I was saying, it was back to the ones where, okay, it wasn't necessarily how big the exit was, but it's like, okay, things didn't go well, but we stuck with it. We were able to manage, and maybe we just had a graceful exit. You know what I mean? That it was just like, you know, we went out and, you know, we were able to, however it was. I have lots of different, but obviously, you know, ISS, that's Internet Security Systems. That was a huge one. That was very close to you know, personally from John, because Tom Noonan had worked for him at Dun & Bradstreet. Oh. So once again, it's, you know, investing in people you know and want to see their success. And you're betting on the people that, yeah, I believe in them and that they're going to figure it out. And then certainly Tradex, that was another one. That was a company actually in Tampa, and we were in the process of moving it to Atlanta, and it was acquired by Ariba. And that was another, you know, so those were, you know, very, very exciting times, because it was just like, it was during a time where, you know, the market was doing things in the dot-com that just we probably won't ever see again in our lifetime. So it was just very exciting. But like I said, all of them, I mean, we try and give the same attention and to all of our deals, and it was, you really do, you become very invested in every deal. And, you know, hopefully that's, you know, what most entrepreneurs can find when they get investors.
Do you find that when an entrepreneur has a positive exit, do they want to give back? Do you find that more times than not?
The one thing I say, I have been so excited lately just being over at ATA, because so many of the members there are folks that have had successes, and we're seeing more of that. It was always kind of a mantra of MLA to trying to encourage other people to become, you know, who had success, to give back. And, it, you know, if it doesn't mean in terms of like, okay, just financially, I'm not, you know, I really don't want to invest a significant portion in actual dollar investments, you know, have the cup of coffee with the entrepreneur, make intros.
Pass
on your knowledge, exactly, mm-hmm. Because truly that cup of coffee and some of your advice may help that entrepreneur more than you writing the
dollars,
check.
Yeah.
So it's like we've always been, you know, encouraging that. But absolutely, I've been meeting more and more folks here in Atlanta, and I just hope we see this community continue to grow, because it truly is an ecosystem. It's like we've always said, you know, oh, you know, we like every deal to be successful, even if it's one that we passed on that we didn't, because it's going to come back to us in spades. You know, a successful company drives job growth, brings talent, and that just helps our portfolio. It's just more talent for us to all, you know, work with.
Capitalize on,
exactly.
Well, you know, this has been an exciting discussion, and I hope that our entrepreneurs and our investors got a lot out of this discussion. It's become tradition whenever we get near the end of the discussion that I make a last request. So my last request would be if you could offer just one piece of advice that the listeners, if they didn't hear anything else today, that they need to make sure and pay attention to, what would that be? And Melanie, I'm going to start with you.
It would definitely be, you know your market and know your investor. Do your homework. Go out there. It's amazing how I think so many times folks get so engrossed in just what they're building in their company, they don't give the same amount of attention and time into researching of who they should go to for money.
That's great. Ed?
I think particularly in the entrepreneur early stage is get to know your investor as more than just a money source. I mean, pick an investor not just because they have the cash, but of those other things they can bring to the table. At that stage, it's very, very important.
No, that's great. Thank you. I'd like to thank both our guests, Melanie Leith and Ed Brown, for joining us today. Great discussion. Should you have any questions for Melanie or Ed, please visit www.resultsmatterradio.com, and you will find their direct contact information. Thank you again to my guests and my co-host, Lee. On behalf of Byrne Forman, a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast, we'd like to remind you if results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give us a call. You can visit our website to find the right attorney for you at www.burr.com. Thanks, guests, for joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.